in the Christmas season, we are reflecting on the coming of God as man, the incarnation. It's a time to reflect on the union between heaven and earth, or the meeting point between the divine and the human. It's an inexhaustible mystery to ponder. In fact, without this revelation of God becoming man, we would never be able to think that we could draw so close to God. There is no religion, there's no culture that unites God and man in the way Christianity does. Cultures either, you know, other religions, either keep God at such a lofty distance that he's unapproachable, he's unknowable, or they get a kind of a caricature of God, a kind of an image of God that's so limited that he's not really, or there, the gods are not really that divine. Think of the pagan gods as sometimes very human. But in Christianity, the awesome unapproachability, the incomprehensibility of God is made present right in the human family, very tangible. St. John the Evangelist puts in his first letter, we saw him, we heard him, we touched him. We touched him. We touched the Word of Life. Well, that's the Christmas mystery set before us. Well, today, an aspect of this mystery is celebrated in light of the revelation of the name of this Word made flesh, the Most Holy Name of Jesus. So today is the Feast of the Most Holy Name of Jesus. There's a little note in the Ordo about this feast day. From apostolic times, the Church has professed that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's from Paul's letter to the Philippians. Through the particular efforts of St. Bernardine of Siena, devotion to the Holy Name of Jesus was promoted through the inscription of the monogram of the Holy Name, IHS. I'm sure you've seen that. It's everywhere in Christian Catholic places, the three letters IHS, monogram of the Holy Name, and the addition of the name of Jesus to the Hail Mary. The Hail Mary used to be, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But now we say, your womb, Jesus, the heart of the Hail Mary. In 1597, Pope Sixtus V first granted an indulgence for the uttering of the phrase used so often by St. John Paul II and included among the pious invocations in the current Enchiridion Indulgentiarum, praised be Jesus Christ. Okay. This feast day is placed on January 3rd. I have a feeling it was on a different date before the council, but I don't really remember. In any case, it was removed. This feast day was removed from the universal calendar for a while, and then it was placed back in the calendar, maybe under John Paul, I think, during the papacy of John Paul. That's why in some of our older books, it's not in the book, because it was removed. So we can be grateful that it's back. And it's placed on January 3rd. I don't know why this date. I have a feeling it's just one of these chain reaction things. Because in the Bible, Jesus officially receives his name on the eighth day, January 1st. But that date is taken. One of the saints we honored yesterday, I think it was St. Basil, died on January 1st. But his feast day couldn't be on January 1st because it's already taken. So they moved him and Gregory to January 2nd, so that day is taken. So I think when they came up with the idea, let's put this back on the calendar, January 3rd was the first available date. I don't know if that's true, but I like thinking about this sort of thing because you see how what a challenge it is to combine divine and human things. God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. But when you enter into the humanity and into the days of time, well, dates and schedules and different celebrations, they can't all be done at the same time. They have to spread them out. So God submits himself to time. He submits himself to the human way of doing things. It's extraordinary humility on God's part. Well, this puts us in the position of honoring God with the use of a human name. Which, as I say, in other religions, other cultures, you can't do that. You can't just address God with an ordinary name. It's not that unusual for religions to say you cannot speak about the divinity. You cannot name him because he's so far above you that even if you knew his name, you would not have the permission to utter it. You know the tradition of the Jews, who knew the name of God, revealed to Moses, but would never pronounce it. They just substitute for the holy name, they just say the Lord, Adonai. It would not pronounce the name revealed to Moses. There's even a dispute about how exactly it was pronounced. There's a remnant of this respect for the name in this feast day. If you look at all the prayers of this feast, you'll notice that the name Jesus is never mentioned. Here it is, the feast of the most holy name of Jesus. The collect doesn't mention the name of Jesus. The prayer over the offerings doesn't mention the name of Jesus. And the prayer after communion, no mention of it. It just says the name, or Christ's name, or the name above every other name, the name by which we invoke you. It's kind of respect. In the English-speaking world, people don't name their children Jesus. I think I've shared this many times. When the first people that I learned who were named Jesus or Jesus were all baseball players, and it was just almost shocking to us to talk to here's a baseball card with Jesus on it, like as if it's an insult to Jesus to have a baseball player named after him. Well, in Hispanic culture, it's very common name, Jesus. And that shows the dynamic here. We're respecting God, and when out of respect, we say we won't pronounce his name or we won't call anybody else by that name. But on the other hand, God humbles himself and chooses a name which is an ordinary name. It was a common human name. And just as it is, say, in Hispanic cultures, Jesus is a common name. So this feast day recognizes both of these. It's the most holy name, but it's also an ordinary name. It's extraordinary and ordinary at the same time. In today's gospel, John the Baptist sees Jesus coming toward him, and he looks like an ordinary man. Just one of the people in the crowd coming to be baptized. He even says, I didn't recognize him. I didn't know him. Because he was so ordinary. Nobody recognized him. No one knew that God was walking on the earth among us. Except Mary. But then John has this mission of pointing out who this is. And he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This ordinary-looking fellow with an ordinary human name is actually the perfect sacrifice, the fulfillment of the Old Testament image of the Passover lamb. Here he is. It's a dramatic revelation of the identity. And then he says, I saw the Spirit come down on him. This man, this ordinary man walking on the shore of the Jordan is our connection to heaven. The Holy Spirit, the divine action that that saves us, the blood that saves us. So he looks so ordinary. But when we reflect on what Jesus was doing, what walking around in an ordinary way, is lifting us up, us ordinary human beings, to the extraordinary level of being children of God. And this is part of the Christmas mystery, as we ponder it, is what's called the Great Exchange. You know? God became man so that man could become God. God emptied himself of divinity, couldn't empty himself, but he somehow humbled himself so that man could be filled with divinity. Christianity is sometimes accused of being disrespectful of God because we act as if God is a baby wearing a diaper, experiencing hunger, thirst, sleeping, things like that. That to some people is insulting to God. But Christianity also treats the human person with extraordinary respect, because each person, not only made in the image of God, but is raised up to the level of being in the family of God. This is what St. John, the evangelist, is reflecting on in the first reading. See what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God. What love, what an extraordinary thing. Who would dare to claim to be a child of God? Come from God, belong to the family of God, equal to God? Yet so we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. The reason why we honor the holy name is because it's one of our access points to the mystery of God. God, by giving us this holy name, lets us know him. Lets us know him. Have not just a label, but to know his person, to have access to his divine power, his presence. And it says here that the world did not know him. So when people don't know Jesus, well, they can't really know us either, because we are his children. We are the recipients of this extraordinary gift. And John continues, beloved, we are God's children now. It's already an established fact. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. So that's why we still look pretty ordinary and feel pretty ordinary, and we have ordinary names. Because what we shall be has not yet been revealed. We do know that when it is revealed, when our real identity is revealed, when who we are in God's mind is revealed, we shall be like him. Like God, for we shall see him as he is. You see how lofty the Christian vision of the human person is. It's not just a bunch of moral guidelines to make us act better. It's not just a show or a lot of rituals. It's a transformation of humanity into divinity. We will be like him. We shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope based on him makes himself pure as he is pure. So why keep up the fight against sin, the resistance to temptation? Because it so defiles, it's not only because it offends God, it so defiles who we are. Why allow ourselves to be dragged back down into the mud when we're being drawn up by God to his own level? Okay, baptism is the entryway into this divine identity. When we're baptized, it's not just that we're washed with water. We're baptized with the Holy Spirit. We're given divine gifts. And it's because we have the Holy Spirit that we can live pure. We can live in an extraordinary way. Even though we're still ordinary human beings, but we have received extraordinary gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So all that is made accessible to us through Jesus, and that's why we honor his most holy name.